Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. I encourage you right now to fill out the Connect form. Go to hbc.info on your device, and you can fill that out very quickly. Let us know how we can pray for you. You can also fill out the black folder at the end of your and just give us a record of your visit. And again, let us know how we can be a blessing to you through this week. I'd love you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be reading through verses 67 all the way to verse 79 in just a moment as we get into the Word. Before we do that, of course, last week we started this new series, Comfort and Joy. And we looked at the words that Mary said in her song of praise to God. And this week, we're going to continue in that series, but we're going to be looking at the words of another person, a man named Zechariah. Now, let's do a quick Bible knowledge quiz, shall we? Who's the first person that can tell me who Zechariah is? Anyone? Uncle, well, that's very specific. I don't know if we can say that, but relative, we can say that for sure. Okay, a priest, yeah. Someone else, yeah, back there. Father John the Baptist. There's one more thing that we know about him. Anyone know what it is? If he's the father of John the Baptist, he's the husband of Elizabeth. There it is. There you go. Very good. You guys did great. Thank you for coming today. Maybe we really needed this today, right? Amen. We need God's word. But that's who Zechariah is. He was the husband of Elizabeth. He was a priest. We're going to see that in a moment. And also the father of John the Baptist. Now, the words that we're going to see in those verses, those words that he said, he spoke them as a prophecy as he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was in direct response to his newborn son coming into the world, John the Baptist. Now, this is relevant to what we would call the Christmas story, if you will, because it had been revealed to Zechariah, which we're going to see here in a moment, that God would work through that boy, through John, in preparing the way for the coming Messiah. And because of his future role that he would play in what God had called him to do, then we see that his words that of his father, of Zechariah, naturally point us also then to Christ. Now let me say this, for all of us, without exception, life can be hard at times, right? It can be disheartening when we go through certain situations. It can be perplexing, for sure. There's many things that happen sometimes that, you know, that they happen in a way that we don't expect. You know, that we can look at our lives, and the truth is, in general, our lives don't usually turn out how we thought that they would. Some of you today, your jobs, your careers is not at all what you had planned when you were younger. For some of you, it might be, but there's other aspects and intricate details of your life that are far different than what you had imagined. And that can be difficult for us to accept. It's not to say that we're not blessed, though. I think it's very obvious that we are so, so blessed in so many ways. And our struggle is that, you know, especially when things don't seem to work out how we had hoped or how we thought that they would, is that we don't always see how blessed we are in real time. But we really are. It's often only when we look through that rear view mirror of life, if you will, when we look back, that we often then will see it's just impossible to ignore God's mighty hand working through our lives. You know, we need to remember this. God has brought us this far. Sometimes we wonder how we get from one place to another, right? And that may be true even in life. How did I get all the way here? God has brought us here. And can I tell you this? He has so much more in store for every single one of us as well. He has good plans. Plans that he has set in place from the beginning of time. And what he's looking for us to do is to simply trust him and follow him. What's going to help us as we struggle in that, as we struggle to trust him and follow him, because certainly we will and we do, is to simply bring ourselves to look to God, to lay our eyes upon him, to behold him, if you will, in all of his glory and greatness. And as we do this, it will leave you, it will leave me, just as it did for Zechariah, in complete awe of God. Beholding God always moves us to worship, blessing him for all that he is, all that he has done, and all that he continues to do. Now, that's my introduction to the message. But before we get into these verses, I have more. I want us to take a look at Zechariah himself. And so before we read our text, I want to walk you through some of the background context of his story. That's going to help us understand who Zechariah was and what brought him to this point of beholding God and blessing him. And in turn, that's going to help us to see why our response should also be the same. So Zechariah is first introduced to us at the beginning of Luke chapter 1. He's actually one of the first ones we're introduced to, even before Mary. We looked at Mary last week, but that was later in Luke chapter 1. He comes in right at the beginning. And the first thing that we're told about him is that he was a priest. And what we also know, is, as we've mentioned as well, is that he and his wife, at a certain point before they had John the Baptist, they had no child. In fact, scripture tells us that Elizabeth was barren. She couldn't have any children, and they were both advanced in years. That tells us very easily that it was highly unlikely that they would have any children at this stage of life. But God had a different plan. And so one day, as Zechariah was filling his priestly duties, he was serving as priest before God, and he entered into the temple, and Luke tells us that he was burning incense as he usually did, but this time would be different, because as he was carrying on with his duties, something unexpected happened. The angel Gabriel appeared before him, and the angel told him that his prayer had been heard, and that his wife would bear him a son. And through all that, he also instructed Zechariah that this son, which she would bear to him, they would name him John. And letting him know just how this had weight to it is not only that they were going to have a son, it was not only that they were going to name him a specific name like John, but also that John would play an important role. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit and would turn many people back to the Lord as their God. That he would be preparing the people ready for the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Christ. Here's the thing, though. Zechariah didn't believe it. He questioned how this could be. He knew that him and his wife, they were advanced in years, and so that was very highly unlikely to happen. And because of his unbelief, then the angel told him that Zechariah would be silent and unable to speak until all of those things were to happen. And then you fast forward about 9 months later, and guess what? John the Baptist was born. Just like the angel said. And as it was the tradition then, boys were often named around the same time that they were circumcised. And so that was about 8 days old. And everyone, for some reason, everyone was there. It says that there were people that were there. And they just assumed that, okay, now they're going to name him, and they're probably going to name him after Zechariah. But instead, Zechariah and Elizabeth made it clear to all of those that were there that their son would be named John. And they did that because that's what the angel instructed them to do. The people that were there were confused. They wondered at that. Why is that? Why John? Why not name him, as is usually our tradition, as we usually do, just after the parent, after the father? It was common then to do that, but yet they didn't do that. Instead, they named him John like they were instructed to. Now, these traditions seemed important to them in those days, but remember also, Zechariah can't speak. And so the people are wondering this, and he's not able to give them a verbal answer. And so to confirm to everyone, hey, this is actually going to be his name, Elizabeth isn't losing her mind here, I'm in agreement with her. And so he took a tablet, and he wrote on the tablet, John, very clearly. And so then they knew that would be his name. And as soon as he wrote his name down on the tablet, Scripture tells us that immediately Zechariah was able to speak again. His mouth was opened and he spoke. And finally, after all that time since he first met the angel Gabriel, at least 9 months prior to that, now he was finally able to speak verbally again. And as he spoke, he immediately blessed God. All right. Now that we see all this, now we know all this, let's take a look at our text and read in Luke chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 67 and see what Zechariah said as he blessed God. Here's what Scripture says. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Here's what we're seeing this afternoon. Here's what we're encouraged to today. Like Zechariah, I will bless God as I behold, first of all, his salvation. I will bless God as I behold his salvation. Now, like I mentioned, for about at least 9 months, Zechariah was completely unable to speak. He couldn't say anything, not a single word. You know, just imagine that for a moment if that happened to you. You wake up one morning thinking that everything's fine, but until you try to say something, until then you don't know. But then all of a sudden you realize there's nothing that you can say. And for Zechariah, he thought it was just another day, just like any other day. And then he goes about doing his duties. And then all of a sudden, this angel appears to him and tells him that something's going to happen. He doesn't believe it. And then he tells him, well, it's still going to happen. But until it does, you can't speak. Can you imagine being in his place? That would be deflating. That would be discouraging. Yes, there's something exciting to look forward to, but I didn't believe it. I'm not really sure I believe it now still. But now what I do know is I can't even speak. I can't say anything. Now, I know that some of you, you might say that it might have been a blessing to Elizabeth that Zechariah couldn't speak for this long. He was a priest after all, so I'm sure he taught, and he might have been long-winded sometimes when he taught and all these things. But in all seriousness, though, that would have been a frightening thing for him to face. You know, as much as I do, if you've ever lost your voice, that it can be really, really frustrating really quickly. You don't realize how much you use, even just your voice, until it's gone. And typically, if you get laryngitis or something of the kind where you're losing your voice, then it can often feel like the effects of it are coming over time. It's slowly going away, and so you've got some time to prepare. But in his case, it was immediate. He couldn't even whisper. Bible tells us that he had to use signs to try and communicate with the people that were there after he came out of the temple and encountered the angel Gabriel. And so this was an all of a sudden change that changed everything in a really big way for Zechariah. And I want to be careful here because we can do that sometimes. We look at these things and we pull lessons where there's really not one. But this is something just to think about, okay? Because Zechariah, in not believing and not receiving what the angel brought to him from the Lord, what happened is that he just didn't listen. He didn't listen. And now, for at least 9 months long, all he could do was listen. I think it's true. I've spent some time with you. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you that's true for me sometimes as well. We can talk for a really long time, right? We can talk and talk and talk. Some of us, it's because maybe we don't like those awkward silences. We got to fill it at some point and say something. Someone's got to say something. Or it's just weird and awkward, and we don't want that. So imagine then placing yourself in his shoes for a moment. It might be even, for some of you, considered as a nightmare. You know, we've all had those dreams. You're asleep. And you kind of know that you're asleep, but something's horrible is happening in your dream. And then you want to cry out for help. You want to say something, and there's absolutely nothing that comes out. And you wake up, and you're like, man, I'm happy that was just a dream, right? It's frightening. What do you think this kind of experience would do to a person? How would you have done in this kind of situation? God saw it that it would be good for Zechariah to be silent. And I wonder if that's something that we also need to consider. That we just listen to God. We stop doing all the talking, we stop making all the excuses, and we just start listening to what God is saying. How will we know what he's saying if we won't just stop and listen for a moment? By the way, I think it needs to be said, but if you want to hear from God, can I tell you this? Don't expect to have an angel appear to you, okay, out of nowhere. I'm not saying that God won't do that, but can I tell you what? He's given us his word. And if we're not going to pay attention and listen to his word, then why should it be expected that we would pay or listen to an angel that he would send even then? Zechariah didn't. But God speaks clearly through his word. You know, when life gets confusing then, instead of asking God for a sign, which, by the way, the Bible says is not wise, why not just turn to his word? Turn to him. And maybe you just need to listen to God this way, that you would get in his book for real. It's probably about time for some of you to do that anyway. His word is where we always receive clear direction and where we find real answers. Now back to Zechariah, though. This happens to him, and he could have chosen to respond in many different ways. He could have chosen to respond in bitterness. He could have been really upset at the whole situation. And maybe he was. We don't see that exactly. What we do see is the response then, once John the Baptist is born, at the end of it all, he had all the time in the world to reflect during those months, those weeks, to reflect on the very last thing that was said to him, and then his response to it, the very last thing that he said. And I'm sure that would have been very humbling for him, especially when you come to realize he had no reason not to believe. You can see the words that the angel shared with him in Luke 1, 16 to 17, and it's filled with messianic references. Here's what the angel said to Zechariah about his son John the Baptist. He said, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Now, this may not jump out to all of you, but for Zechariah, especially being a priest, especially with the understanding that he would have had, he knew what all of this pointed to. He knew that the announcement that was brought to him from the angel clearly echoed what had been previously prophesied of and seen through Scripture. You can look at Malachi 3:1, where it says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. It's the exact same thing. Now that in Malachi had been given 450 years before this time. It had been 450 years since this had been prophesied. Israel had waited with anticipation for the Messiah, and yet he still hadn't come. And so maybe Zechariah is struggling to believe because of the long period of time in between. It had been so long since then. Now it's going to happen now? Maybe he struggled to believe because Israel hadn't seen or heard of anything else from God concerning the coming of the Messiah for a while. Maybe it was because Zechariah didn't believe God would or could even use him or his wife. There's a lot of people that feel like that about God using them. We don't exactly know the internal battle that he faced. We don't exactly know why he struggled to believe. There's really no reason why he shouldn't have believed. What we do know and what we do see is that once he was able to speak again, something had changed. He now believed. Rather than continuing to doubt, he instead exalted the Lord God of Israel. And think of this for a moment. When he was able to speak, he didn't go and start having a conversation with his wife and started catching up over everything over the last few months. No, he didn't do that. He didn't go and start having a conversation with his friends and with other people maybe that he wasn't able to converse with for a while. He didn't start talking about, you know, what was in the latest news or what's the latest controversy. He didn't start talking about sports and the weather and all of these things. He didn't even start complaining, by the way. No, he jumped right to blessing God. And he did so passionately. Because it seems like during this time of silence, his eyes were opened as he quietly pondered with himself the greatness and the goodness of God. He finally began to see the work that God was doing, and as he did, he could only respond in worship. The real difference between then and between now is that Zechariah believed and saw that God was bringing about salvation through his promised son. We see that in verse 69. Notice again what he said. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He knew what the prophets had foretold before. He knew what they had said concerning the Messiah. He knew that the Messiah would come from the house of David, that the Lord was the one, the only one who would and who could bring about salvation, such a mighty victory to redeem his people to himself. Jesus was now coming. And so as soon as he's able to, he blessed the Lord. He responded in true praise, in true worship, and in true thankfulness to the Lord. So there's a couple of questions that I think we need to ask ourselves, that we need to consider in this. First of all, do I know his salvation? You know, we ask this as we consider this and consider that Zechariah had could only listen for that period of time. And I wonder, maybe it's for us also, are we listening? If you don't know his salvation, are you listening? God has brought salvation to mankind through his son, Jesus. I want to point out to you, it's not a salvation, it's the salvation. It's the only one that is available to any person. It's not true that all ways lead to God. Salvation is only available to us by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's why he came. That's why God sent his son into the world, because of his great love for us, desiring that none would perish in their sins, but that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. Jesus is the light that came into the world. And if you believe in him, then you are saved through him. Yet scripture is also clear, if you don't believe in him, then you are condemned. Romans 10:17 says this, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And so I ask again, are you listening? Do you know his salvation? Christ came to die for the sins of the world so that we might live in him. That's the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you this? When you come to behold his salvation, you will bless the Lord, just like Zechariah did. Second question to consider is this. Are you thankful for his salvation? Are you truly, really thankful for the salvation that God has brought to you? You know him personally, intimately. In a few moments at the end of our service, we're going to observe communion together. And I'm thankful that we get to do that. It's a wonderful time where we get to consider the good news of the cross, that Jesus came to die for me. I have the privilege of knowing him as my Savior. But I wonder, is that good news? Is it still good news to you? Or is it old news? You know, rehearsing the gospel to ourselves, to our hearts, is absolutely crucial in reminding us of God's unbelievable grace and unbelievable goodness. You know, it's one of the ways that we get to rehearse the gospel, by observing communion as a church, remembering Christ's perfect sacrifice. We should be thankful to God. He has made a way for redemption. But sometimes I wonder if we really are that thankful to him. If we are genuinely thankful to God for his salvation. We thank him for our meals. We thank him for our families. We thank him for our church. We thank him for our personal belongings. But are we truly still and most thankful for the greatest thing that he has ever provided, his only son? When we draw our hearts to the Lord in thankfulness for his goodness, which is seen best and most in his salvation, then we will bless the Lord. Here's the second thing that we see. Like Zechariah, I will bless God as I behold his salvation and then his faithfulness. God is faithful. God is faithful. I'm repeating that because for some of you, that's really what you needed to hear today. God is faithful. We tend to forget that he is faithful, or just how faithful he is. It's Christmas time. It's the season of Christmas that's before us. And so we consider the coming of Christ. But on this side of the cross, we're not just looking to his first coming, but also his next coming. That's what we await for. We celebrate Christmas because without his first coming, the incarnation of Christ, there would be no second coming. And the Messiah's coming was profusely prophesied of throughout Scripture. We can see through what Zechariah is saying in these verses that he's recognizing this, he's acknowledging this as he speaks, and we should also. And through it, we see God's goodness and faithfulness so much more. How thankful should we be that God didn't even just leave mankind in the dark and then poof, there's Jesus. No, he foretold that he would send his son, that there would be a way to salvation, to be redeemed from our sins. That God would send Jesus so that we could obtain salvation in him. It's the best news ever. There's no other way for us to avoid having to face our deserved condemnation than through receiving Jesus Christ. And God came through. He not only came through, he stayed true to his own promises. He stayed true to his word and sent his son. We see it throughout Scripture, like in Genesis 3:15, we see that the coming Messiah would be born of a woman. And as Isaiah 7:14, we see that he would be born of a virgin. In Micah 5:2, we see that he would be born in Bethlehem. In Isaiah 9:7, he would descend from David. In Isaiah 53, he would die for our transgressions. In Psalm 16:10, death would not hold him. In Daniel 7, he would establish his kingdom and have everlasting dominion. And there's so much more that we see throughout Scripture. All of this came to pass in Christ Jesus because God had promised it, and he holds all his promises. He is faithful. And so we can trust in him when he says he is with his children. We can trust in him because he said he will not leave us or forsake us. We can trust him also when he tells us that Christ will come again to gather his bride, to gather the church, reuniting us to himself forever. Jesus said himself in John 14:3, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. We can trust him that that is true and that he is coming again. He is faithful. And we can anticipate this hope that we have in Christ to one day be made sight, as we'll have the privilege of laying eyes on Jesus. You know, we look at the world, we look at ourselves and everything that's around us. We see the brokenness, we see the mess that we're in. We see how the enemy's hand is hard at work. It's against God's people, and it's growing more and more intensely. You know, we see that the enemy is doing everything that he can to turn people aside from the good news of the gospel. We know that the enemy intends to discourage believers, to distract them from the mission that they've been given. But our God is faithful. And so we can depend on him, we can look to him, and we should be faithful to him also. Because he is faithful, we can look to him, and he remains faithful. So, church, we don't need to worry. Like Zechariah said, we don't need to fear. God has all things in his hands. It didn't seem to make a lot of sense to Zechariah at the beginning, did it? And yet, later, after he was able to speak, and as he did speak, through his words, we can see that it all made sense. That God was over all, that he was coming to establish his kingdom, and he will come again. It will establish it to its fullness one day. Until then, we need to live unto him. There's an urgency that we live unto him as we wait on him. And you know, as we see this, it's very clear, it's very obvious that the faithfulness of God alone deeply impacted Zechariah. And it will do the same for us as we behold our God. And so I want to encourage you, continue to look to God by whom you were called. The faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. He is the God who will sustain you to the end. As Zechariah saw that God was working and always working, he blessed God. And that seeing that God is working, even though he didn't see it, and he still doesn't always see it, and neither do we. We don't always understand it, how God is working. We don't even remember at times that God is working, but he is. He never comes short, and he is never changing. He is faithful, always keeping his promises. Can I tell you what? When we see just how faithful God is, and he truly is, then we should bless the Lord. Here's the last point. Like Zechariah, I will bless God as I behold his salvation, his faithfulness, and finally his mercy. As he closes things off here, as he finishes speaking, we see that he was very aware of the unbelievable, and in his own words, the tender mercy of our God. And that's including for himself. Zechariah would have the privilege of playing an important part in the life of his son, who would grow and be a man that would prepare the way for the coming Messiah, who would proclaim God's amazing salvation, proclaim the power of the Savior who can forgive sins, who can forgive sinners. He's understanding that he's very undeserving of God's mercy. And yet God is merciful. He's undeserving of the opportunity that lies before him. You know, in the first place, he didn't even believe he would have a son. Even though God told him that he would. And so he truly saw and experienced God's mercy in this and throughout his life. and in seeing the salvation of the Lord through Jesus Christ. And now, seeing the extent of God's mercy, seeing that the Lord would come from on high, giving light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and guiding the feet of those who follow him and trust him into the way of peace. Zechariah saw himself in all this. He saw his need for God's abundant mercy, needing Christ's mercy. And I tell you this, I think you know this, I hope you know this, and I hope that you come to know this, is that we all need Jesus. And we certainly don't deserve him. There's nothing that you and I have ever done that would bring us to the point of deserving Christ. Never. And yet he came for us. That's something to behold and bless God for, isn't it? So will you behold and bless God? You know, we're truly blessed. And even though in this life things don't always seem to go the way that we would hope, the way that we would want them to, even though we face dark and difficult days, in having Christ, we have all that we need. You know, life with Jesus doesn't mean that things are just going to be easy all of a sudden. No, it means everything but that. But life with Jesus is all of that hardship plus peace. A peace that can only come from him. True peace. And it's a peace that will lead us to behold him. So let's behold and bless God, for his salvation is great, his faithfulness is sure, and his mercy never comes to an end. In just a few moments, we're going to be observing communion, as I mentioned. Our worship team is going to make their way up, and they're going to lead us through that. As they lead us in worship, you can remain seated, and the elements are going to be passed by our ushers, and you can go ahead and take what you need there. Just a reminder, of course, if you're going to commune with God, it's because you will also know God and his son Jesus as your personal Savior. So let's just be mindful of that. And then I'll come back up and lead us in a time of communion. Let's pray to the Lord now, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord God, it's an unbelievable circumstance that Zechariah found himself in. And yet it opens our minds, because we know that you are the same God that worked then that also works in our lives. Now we can see and know salvation in Christ, Lord. Now we can see and know your faithfulness, God. And certainly how much that humbles us, because you are so full of mercy. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and I pray that as we take this time of communion, remembering your son Jesus on the cross, I pray that we'd be reminded of all of these things, beholding you truly and giving you all praise and honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name, amen.